You just have to let them know that there's going there to be another pandemic, that okay? You have to get them ready.
Gonna be okay.
You have to get them ready for the shot again. It's time to tell everybody the shot is cool. The shot is great. It's time again. Sure, you gotta get them inside. They're too crazy.
Everything.
People.
I mean,
gotta keep them, like,
shit.
Occupied. We gotta keep them inside.
Everything's gonna be fine.
Some guy gave me $20.
We don't have to worry about nothing.
Put your hand in
the
your
fires
arm.
Don't mean
a thing.
Put your
thumbs in
the
air
lot.
The
laser death rays are just
crazy. I can't even,
you know,
breathe in this
whatever.
Goddamn thing. This
everybody's making money. Everybody's
anyways,
happy.
You just go out there.
That
make sure
guy
you tell
over
them
there's crazy, but I like some
and
of his ideas. I gotta
be
honest
fine,
with
okay?
you.
And you just put
so
jab
just
in
the
heater,
jab
in
away,
head.
I guess.
And you don't worry about nothing.
Yeah, jab away.
Dr. D said
Dr.
so.
D
okay.
says
Dr. D
to jab away. So that means I guess it's time for me to produce some other pandemic because I am the
evil
lord. You must listen to me. Tell everybody. That
you
there is going to be
sure
a pandemic,
because
and I,
the
evil
I promise you the
Satan,
gone.
Will
don't
make
lose
everybody
hey,
die.
What,
oh,
what,
don't
what are
lose
you doing?
It. Don't lose
relax
it.
Relax now.
Don't,
it's going to be okay.
It's going to be
don't
okay.
Worry.
It's
just another pandemic.
Oh,
I
shit.
Told you not to fucking talk to her about pandemics and jabs all day.
You all day you had to
be.
I told you right.
See, it's your fault.
She's
going
to lose it.
Her head's going to explode. I told you.
You
oh, yeah. oh, there she goes.
Shit.
I told you.
Shit.
I told you.
Here
you
she comes. Okay.
Bloody idiot.
Here
okay.
we go.
Fire, here we go.
What
jeez.
The? It must be time for the Canadian Real Estate Show.
Daryl, did I even approve of that skit? Was that even like a, like, where did you get that footage of me? Like, I don't know where that came from. I
how
swear.
How funny was that?
That's not
like
how
that?
I remember it. You know,
you don't remember
when we
it that
filmed
way?
It. No, I don't remember it that way at all.
Yes.
I'm going to talk to my lawyer.
Oh
hey?
My God.
Holy moly. What are we doing with our lives?
What a nuttiness. Teeth.
Whatever. Hey,
welcome to
how
the
are you? Welcome
show.
Back to Toronto, man.
Oh,
jeez, last week's
God.
Episode. Holy smokes.
What a stinker, eh?
Ooh-wee.
Hey,
oh,
fuck
boy.
That shit up.
Do not
I'll
judge
take
us
full responsibility
on our stinkers,
that.
Okay?
Yeah.
Judge us on our winners.
Winners only.
All right?
Winners only. Okay.
We went 2 weeks ago with Mark Morris, big winner.
Best episode of all time.
Absolutely crashed the next
fucking
week.
Fucking
garbage
it.
From Curacao.
Oh,
Daryl's
brutal.
Not allowed to go back there anymore. I'm going to call the authorities.
No,
they're
next
not going to let him into the country anymore.
Next time I will be hardwired from my house there in Curacao. This!
They're not letting you in, buddy. You better get a fake passport.
I'm getting in there.
I'm releasing your photo.
I'm getting
to
in
the
there.
The federales.
Oh, T-Cam, so excited for today's episode. It's not every day that, you know, you get somebody from the comments section on the show.
It's only our second time ever.
Who was the first one?
Please subscribe. And
well, guys, we've got a great charity that we're supporting. It's called Emily's House. It's a children's hospice. If you guys could go to getleo.com and check out Emily's House. We've also got a link in the description below. Any contribution would be appreciated.
Please subscribe. And
well, Urban Zen Girl.
Ah, yes.
AKA Justice Queen.
AKA Justice Queen. AKA, yeah, I miss her. We need to get her back
on
the show.
Back on the show,
holy
too. She's stirring up the pot out there. You know, she's just gathering intel for us.
Jesus, she's stirring things up. That's for sure. But this guy today, this guest, he likes to stir things up. Most people out there, I think, have probably had a conversation with him in the comments or read
probably an argument.
Probably an argument, read something that he wrote in the comment section, but we'll get to him a little bit later. TK, there's a lot going on out there in real estate. I want to talk about some real estate before we bring him on, because I don't know which rails he's going to take the conversation on. And
okay.
There's a lot of stuff going on. Like,
there's one big news article that is out there right now that should be the biggest topic, but go ahead. What's yours? What's
well,
your
tell
list?
Tell me. I mean,
the
if
new
it's the biggest,
real estate rules in Ontario,
the open bidding.
That's part of TRESA, which is the Trust and Real Estate Services Act, which is replacing REBA, the Real Estate and Business Brokers Act. So we finally got new provincial legislation that governs how the real estate industry operates.
Oh, yeah. And how do you think that's going to work out?
It's probably going to change about a whole lot of nothing.
A whole lot of nothing. They're throwing lots of nothing.
All right, moving on. Next topic.
Next topic.
I mean, open they got a few things. They honestly, the real estate council people, the legislation people, the industry know-it-alls, all that kind of stuff, they mean well. They want consumers to be protected. They don't want bad apples in the industry. Like, you know, it's not like they're intentionally trying to, you know, allow people to sort of operate, you know, however they want. But at the end of the day, you know, it's just one of those type of industries that's just really, really set in its ways. It's really hard to change. And so they've got a lot of new things, but everybody just finds little ways to basically say, well, if you just do it the same way you always did it, then you could still comply with this new rule. And so, you know, agency explanations when you meet with a client, who's a client, who you should be giving advice to, you know, you shouldn't, you know, really be telling somebody, you know, what they should offer on a property unless you've got some sort of agency relationship, which could be in writing or it also could be implied, which is just verbal, right? So it's like that exists, you know? So there's a lot of different things like that. But I think the biggest one, and you mentioned it, that everyone wants to talk about, that people actually care about, is open bidding.
Okay, TK, it's that time again. You know what time it is, yeah? Wake up and press that bloody subscribe button because we're so close to 6,000 subs.
6,000 subscribers. Oh what my gosh, hell, who would have thought we'd have got there? But we need your help to get there. I need you to hit that subscribe button. I need you to go and start another account, double subscribe, and make sure that you support the show every single week because we need it.
It's going to be great. The next month of this show is going to be great, everybody. So subscribe now so you get that notification and hit the damn bell, TK.
See you in the comments.
Boom.
Ooh-wee.
Please subscribe. And
well,
which also seems to have turned into a big nothing burger, at least like more horrific timing. Right. Like,
well, you're the seller. Now. You're the seller. You've got the option to have a property that you've got, you know, they've lived in for 30 years that you're going to list, and they're going to list it for an attractive price and have everybody bid.
What's my name? What's my name?
Steve.
Steve, the seller. Yeah. All right.
Let's go. So, Steve, we want to list your property. And what we're going to do is we're going to list it at a really ridiculously low number that everyone knows isn't what you're really willing to accept. But it's going to just attract people who don't know what they're talking about or don't know the area very well to come and see your property and make an offer that most normal people would understand would never be accepted, but they're not that experienced yet. And so they're still going to make the offer anyways. And what that's going to do is it's going to allow a bunch of other people who actually know what they're talking about to make their own offers based off of the most recent sales. Now, if one buyer who's got a lot more money than everybody else wants to bid and they think it's worth $2 million, right? We're going to make sure that they know that the second place offer is only 1.2 and that they don't need to pay that much money after all. So is that okay, Steve? Do you want to do the open bidding auction on your property, or do you want to just maybe keep everybody's bids a secret just in case that one buyer actually wants to pay you more money?
So I heard in Australia that the open bidding actually pushed the average pricing up. So
I heard that the toilets swirl the other way down there too. So that's I wouldn't rely on any information coming over there.
I didn't test that, but I can see how it would come up because, like,
in certain areas, in certain situations, I agree with you 100%. Two people neck and neck bidding each other. Oh, he paid this much. I just had five offers on a property this week, and the people who won got the property. They outbid the next offer by $17,500. And then the next day, the people who lost were calling me and saying, like, we'll go up. We'll go up.
I would have paid more.
We would have paid more.
Exactly.
And the reason was is because the price that they were already at, they thought they were paying too much.
What's the difference? I'll go to 22 grand.
And so,
right?
And so
I'll go over.
Because now they knew that the other guy had paid that much. They were like, oh, we definitely would go up. So
yeah, and the seller's sitting there going, okay, I need a TV. So like, let's keep this thing going. Oh,
there's,
you know what?
There's
going to
be situations where that would work. But bottom line is like, nothing burger.
Nothing burger.
Because
you have a choice. Like, what is that now? It should just be like, okay, this is how fucking offers work here. You like open it up, keep it closed. Either way. The realtors will figure out ways, right? It's like, it's going to turn into like a baseball game. You know, it's like,
Oh, they got a firm offer.
Right? So, no, it's like go up a little bit, right?
But this is actually a good segue just to talk about like tokenization of real estate, right? And smart contracts.
Are we going back there again?
Yeah, there's this hot topic still again.
Is it a hot topic again?
Absolutely.
It should be, because I mean, that was the only part of that whole NFT shit that made any sense, is these smart contracts, right?
And to put real assets onto the blockchain and to be able to have fractional ownership and to be able to have smart contracts and to be able to have crypto forms of payment and all that stuff. But let's just talk about it on offers. So yeah.
We're going to have artificial general intelligence before we sell the property in real estate.
That's just to sell the property. So like you just said it, though, you said a standardized way to sell the property. So every property has to have a smart contract.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so every single deal gets sold the same way, is contracted the same way, is done along the same lines. Everyone's on this even playing field. Yeah. There's all sorts of protections that get legislated in order to protect the consumer. Like, that's not happening in my lifetime. Like,
but what about Realm? Didn't they just implement a new system that all you guys are supposed to be working on that is like basically nothing also?
Put up your hand if you're currently using Realm.
It's on my home screen now too.
Realm. You're using it?
Well, my daughter's using it and she invited me to it, right?
Yeah.
Well, but she's ahead of the curve, bro. She's going to take you down.
Yeah. She's going to take me down. She's going to take my job. I hope this YouTube thing works out.
With Realm.
Oh, my God. Everyone's after my job, apparently.
What a nothing burger. Ugh, Realm. Anyways, TK, there's a lot going on out there. Numbers are kind of cockamamie. Can we talk about the numbers that came out before we invite our guest on? Do you want to do that? Or did we talk about open bidding enough? Like, fuck open bidding. That's stupid. Enough's enough with that shit, right? Okay, so check this out, TK. Okay. Yesterday, I'm at lunch with our friend of the show, Mr. Vaz from Vaz Estates.
Yep.
And I'm bitching and complaining that I'm back here in this godforsaken country, right? And I'm pissing and moaning. And the waitress is not from this country, and neither is Vaz. And they're telling me, like, what a great country it is to live in. And I said, maybe. Right. Mm-hmm. It might be great compared to where you came from and the situation that you came from. But for me, it's not for me. OK, first of all, I came from a better country than this fucking Canada. That's for sure. In my 47 years, this place went to fucking Shitsville. Right, Don? Right, Don? Are you there?
Don.
You can't hear us. Maybe you got to turn on the sound or something. We're going to pretend like Don's not on the screen maybe, and maybe he'll figure out his audio.
But how did he know? He says, I can't hear you. But it was like perfectly timed. Don.
the magic. Yeah.
We can't hear you. He can hear us, but we can't hear him.
We can sign. So that's good.
Maybe log out and come back in.
Try it again.
Try that. That's how I fix all my technological problems.
And maybe smash that thing.
What happened at this restaurant? First of all, what kind of restaurant was this?
It was Kiva's. It was like a bagel place.
It's a bagel place.
You've been there. Haven't we been there together?
I went there a couple.
Everybody's been to Kiva's, I think. Anyway, so we're sitting there and I'm bitching and moaning and they're telling me how great it is. And I'm like, no, you guys don't know great. Great doesn't include snow. Okay. There's no planet where great country has a ton of snow and you got to shovel stuff off of stuff. Okay. This is horrible, especially, okay, when you come from paradise. Okay. You come from paradise where it's fucking boiling hot every day and everybody's beautiful and nice and there's beaches and water and you can like see the bottom of the ocean.
I'm going to make a wager here, okay?
I'm moving.
In like 1 month, you will have something else on your mind. Other than that, that will no longer be a focus.
Watch, man. Yeah. I'm going to put
it's
a deal together.
You go on vacation, you fall in love with a place, but it's just not reality.
I know. But that's why I'm going to go there for a month, okay? I'm going to go there for a month and like live like locally, you know, not like in a hotel and check it out. Because I'm not kidding. I got to move there at least for half the year because this fucking winter shit.
They're
going to
rob you blind.
They can rob me as much as they'd like, as long as I can stay. But anyways, TK, while we get Don's issues sorted out, which will be wonderful for the editing, what's going on here? We got a lot of inventory here, don't we? A lot of inventory starting to kind of pile up, although it's weird because it's down from last month, isn't it, TK?
No, we don't have a lot of inventory piling up. We have a lot of condo inventory piling up. A
lot of condo inventory piling up. And why is that, TK? Why is that?
Like, condo market's always been the same thing. Like, it's always been very volatile. It's always been like, you don't have the land that, you know, people believe in. So there's always going to be more fluctuations in the condo market. And so we saw it in 2020. You know, we saw it in the 90s, really bad in the 90s, because it was a new product, right? Everyone was just like, whoa, like, get out of the condo market. And so now we're seeing it again, where we're just like, okay, we built a lot of condos. There's so many freaking condos. How come there's no more houses? I want to live in a house. I don't know many people who dream of growing up and one day living in a condo with their family. It's just not part of the Canadian culture, right? And so, you know, older people, sure, you know, downtown people, investors, young people. Oh, yeah, there's all these different lifestyles that condo life suits. But for the average person, they're like, they're dreaming of the white picket fence. And guess what? We're running out of fences.
Running out of places to put fences that, well, not even places to put them. Like,
there's no houses out there on the market right now. I got lots of people.
Drainage and water and
in the market, selling the market, buying the market. We're looking for houses. There's not a lot of places for sale right now. And they're all saying the same thing.
If you're looking for a house, where can you find a house these days? Is there anywhere?
Durham, Vaughan, Markham, you know, all these areas that people that I work with.
Anywhere. Oh, okay.
No houses. No, if there is something, it's you know, it's overpriced or it's really great and it sells really fast for good money. Like, I mean, it's at the end of the day, what's happening? I'm reporting live from the streets, right?
Well, so this is the thing, is like, I've seen this a few times on Twitter and anecdotally from a few other agents that I've spoken to, that like on the street, it feels like things are heating up, but in the numbers, it feels like, you know, it's like kind of average back to normal.
I'll give you some anecdotal. I had a property this week with five offers that was listed for $1,730,000.
Whoa. In Scarborough?
Five offers. I could have had eight.
What kind of property is this? Is this like a new custom home?
3,400 square foot, 20-year-old house. Big lot.
Seven in Scarborough. What is going on? That's crazy. But I guess that's
how many,
normal?
How much over asking?
How much over five asking? Offers.
Yeah.
Five offers. Open bidding? Was it after Friday? What day is today?
No, I'm not doing open bidding.
And open bidding here.
And it wasn't even an offer date.
Not even an offer date. All of a sudden you got five offers?
Yeah, I stirred the pot. Anyways, Daryl, answer the question.
How the fuck
stop
am
avoiding
I
the question?
To know?
How much over asking was it?
300,000.
No, it's sold. Hello? I yelled too loud. No, it's sold for 10,000 under asking.
That's pretty good though.
Priced right. It was priced right. But still, there's a lot of people interested. You know,
so you got
house.
Like a low bid and you started calling around going, you know what? Like, there's still an opportunity
exactly
here. if you're interested, I'm not going to tell you where you have to
asking the first
be,
offer.
But...
I was like, yeah, I think this could work. Yeah.
Up a little more.
No, honestly, though, that's what it was worth. The market tells me what things are worth, not me. And
but how did you know?
Offers, you would think. You know, 2 years ago, you'd say, "Geez, five offers, 300,000 over asking." What? And so, this is the market that you have to understand when you're with your agent, and he's telling you, you know, they got five offers on the place. You know, geez, this place is really swell. Look at it. There's nothing else available. Yeah. You should probably go in with your best.
Right.
Well,
fuck
your best
shit,
may still be under asking. So
under
that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that.
Move on. But there's still a good amount of inventory.
Look
but
at
I
the
guess...
data back that up. One, you know, the sales were there. So like, you know, over the last couple months, which means look at the data. If the market's trending down, you should be paying less than the last sale. If the market's trending up, you should be paying a little bit more than the last sale. But this is the data.
But if that continues,
what continues?
Like that scenario.
Oh, yeah.
Then
that pushes prices up.
Oh, yeah.
Because those guys will quickly go, well, the next time I'm just going to go in at asking.
Fuck this shit.
Seal the deal. That was right. 10 grand under asking. I could have just gone in at asking. I was okay with asking.
And we're back to 2 years ago again, where it's like, okay, honey, happened. Like, just shut up. I'm going to get the house already. I swear to God, I'm going to get the next one.
What? But the condo, remember from last week, did I tell you about the condo that I listed for $675?
What is the condo?
At Bathurst and Shepherd.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I still don't know where the hell condos are at Bathurst and Shepherd.
There's
okay.
a row of Shepherd. Remember, I did that site on Shepherd, and then next door, they're building quad building, and then there's like two buildings down, there's another one.
Okay.
Now that one's now the price is now at $599.
Hmm. From?
$675.
Whoa. Hey. Ow.
Yeah. A lot of condos in that area. There's a ton of them, and the feedback's like there's bigger, better, newer ones for less money.
Jesus.
So, and the last sale was $725. I think it was in August. So August, the market was better.
There are some.
And it was a better unit too. It was more renovated. But whatever. Still, there's a significant downward pressure on condo market.
Significant.
Significant. Yeah. I mean, I'm looking at a lot of listings. I'm hearing the voices. I'm listening to the news. I know what the chatter is, and the chatter is there's a lot of condos for sale. And
well,
the options
like,
are
now?
Newer condos. That's the thing. The options are newer condos. So someone can get a newer, better condo for, I mean, at the end of the day, things are going to sell. The resale price is going to be the resale price. So when all these guys are trading assignments or they're buying pre-construction or anything like that, no one cares about that. That's not the resale market. When you get to the resale market, you're going to list your condo, and then real buyers who looked at all their options for buildings that are from brand new to 20 years old will say, this is what I value your unit at. And then that's going to be the resale market. Right. Hmm. And so when you have newer units coming on, yeah, sure, some people may not be able to afford to sell or, you know, that whatever, but I'm sure there'll be a lot of people who say, look, I got to get whatever price I can get. I'm paying $4,000 a month in mortgage payments here. It was supposed to be 1800, you know, and my rent's only 2700, and I need to, you know, flip this condo ASAP. Right. And so they'll have to sell for whatever the price is that they can get. And those resale prices will dictate values. And if I can get a newer condo for the same price or a little bit more, brand new, all the new fixtures and features and everything else, I'm going to take it. And there's those buildings right across from at Wilmington. There's all those towns.
The low rise.
Like
yeah, yeah.
The low rise. Yeah. I got a few units there that I'm going to have coming up because a couple investors bought them, and they're all new, you know, and they're not selling for big bucks, but they're decent units.
Good location.
Yeah. Yeah.
Man, so I would really, I mean, we had our neighbors finally sell their place, and it actually was good. It was more than the last guy who sold, so that was super cool. Yeah. I feel like I got back like some of the value that I thought I lost because I bought it such a dumb time, right?
Imagine if you bought February 2022.
Oh, God. You know what? Like, I don't even know if there'd be much of a difference the way things work, because it is the last prices that dictate what your house is worth. So like, if some fucking asshole, which did happen on my street twice, just completely destroyed all the value that was, I guess, fake created in like the big boom, right? It's gone, right? It doesn't matter what time you bought it. Right. If they reset the market like fucking assholes, which is their prerogative, it's their house, they can do whatever they want. It doesn't matter when, if it was peak 2022 or if it was like sometime in 2020.
Your price that you paid matters.
The price you pay
you
always
paid more
matters.
6 months or whatever, 8 months, 10 months later or something like that.
Oh, you think? Maybe.
100%.
Yeah. I fucking hope not. Because God damn it.
Yes, you would have. Everybody did.
Everybody did.
Yeah.
Well, so that's a saving grace. But I mean, now you got to start fighting, I guess, with appraisers if you want like a favorable appraisal these days. Like, I can't even imagine what it's like to get an appraisal right now. Thank God.
We got an appraisal for a property. It's like a refinance. And I don't know. Appraisals don't seem to be an issue. Like, there's clarity. You know, it's like, okay, these ones sold and the appraisers are looking at those last sales, and you can get some clarity. It's when the market's falling, like an appraisal on a condo right now would be interesting to see, because you're going to look at the sales and you're going to be like, well, that one sold for this much 2 months ago. That's your exact unit. How much does the market change in 2 months?
Well, around here, it seems that it can change, you know, 5, 6, 8, 12% in a month, right?
Anything's possible, but that's like happening. Maybe there's some missing information there. But
some missing information.
Yeah. Like maybe the value of two homes sold within that much of a difference, but you know, one could be bigger, one could be more renovated, that kind of stuff.
Well, I mean, it's always hard to get apples to apples unless it's like the same building.
Yeah.
In any property, right? Even in a subdivision. I mean, good luck getting the same house, you know, apples to apples at for sale or sold recently when you're trying to sell the same model. Like, it's all bullshit anyways. Like,
well, here, I'll give you a scenario here that I sometimes tell clients. So if you had a condo that was in a building, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it was one condo, one unit, one floor, one building facing the same direction, all the same layouts. And it was just 101, 102, 103, 104, all in a row, identical in every single way.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
And the first one sold for $300,000.
Next one's worth 305 for sure, bro. So
would the price stay this? So 5 years later, each one of those units transact. Would they all sell for the same at one point or the next? All spread out. Would they all transact for the same price?
No way.
Why?
Because people are crazy.
No.
Oh.
Because of supply and demand.
Supply and demand.
Right? At the time when the first one
was sold, everyone
would have looked around and would have said, how many other options do I have out there? Oh, 300 grand. No problem. I want to buy that unit.
Right.
Now, 3 months later, the next one comes up. All these other options are now available too. They say, oh, you pay 300, but I can do it. 280.
Hmm.
Third one comes up. Wow. Nothing's available right now. The market's going crazy. I heard about this COVID thing. I'm going to pay you 400. You know? It's supply and demand. It's what your options are. It's an open market, right? So it's what your options are. So when you're going to sell your
property.
Mixed
with the story you believe, I suppose.
Everybody says it's about what your neighbor sold for. Is it really though?
No, it's not. Sometimes
because once your neighbor, but once your neighbor sold, it's gone.
Okay.
Once your neighbor sold, it's gone. It's done. It's over. You should have sold then if you liked that price.
Okay.
Think about it. Well, think about it. That's no longer an option anymore for anybody else to buy. So now when you go to sell, it is about what other options buyers have more than what it's about what the last one sold for. That's where the data will come from. I agree. But even if it's the same house on the same street at the same time in the same building with the same view and everything else too, if somebody goes to look at that unit now, but now this other new development has just opened up or, you know, interest rates are higher or whatever, their options become options have changed. And so now they're going to perceive the value based on what other available opportunities there are in the market. And the closer the sales are together, the more likely they're going to use that comparable, of course, because the market factors are the same. So what can we control? Can we control the supply or can we control the demand of your unit?
We can control the supply of our unit.
So I'm going to tell all your neighbors, I'm going to say, look, Daryl, it's his turn to sell. Everybody, don't list your property until you see Daryl's property sold.
No, the supply of my
guys,
unit.
Guys, Daryl, it's really important that he sells right now. Okay, he's got a big investment in Curacao. He's opening up a huge resort.
Everybody,
sell for as much money as possible. Yeah. Please don't sell your home, especially you desperate people who are going into nursing homes. You guys just chill until he's done.
No, I'm going to offer
the supply.
No, can you control anything?
What can I control then? The demand.
What can you can control the demand?
Absolutely. You can control how many people know that the property is for sale.
Can you?
Why couldn't you?
I don't know. How do you do that?
Marketing.
Okay.
Right. The more people that know about your property being for sale means that there's more opportunities for a buyer who's willing to pay you more money than anybody else to see your property so that you sell for more money.
Insert
that's what marketing
Frank
is.
Leo commercial here.
Are you a real estate agent and you're looking to make a change? Anywhere in Ontario, guess what? We're hiring. Franklin Associates, number one team in the GTA for all RE/MAX teams, number one team for all teams from all companies for number of units sold throughout Toronto. So if you're looking to make a change, best decision I ever made was to join Franklin Associates. Go to jointeamleo.com and we can set up a call.
Ha 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 ha.
Okay.
Yeah.
But that's what it is, right? So it is about supply and demand more than anything else. Now, here is the demand side. Baby boomers. This is an important topic. Okay. This is an important, important topic. There's something called a sell rate where they look at age groups and how many of them are selling their homes. So back in the 80s, they looked at people who were between 60 and 80, you know, like that retirement age. And they said how many of them were going to sell their homes during that time. And the percentage was about 40 something percent, maybe 40, 50%. Okay. And so when they had that, they would know that there's a certain amount of inventory that's going to be coming on the market. Today, that same age group, do you know what their sell rate is? It's almost 30%.
I was going to say, it's got to be lower.
It's gone down.
Yeah, for sure. And it's going to keep going down, I think.
No, it's down because that's the baby boomer age group, and they are selling their homes less and less and less. Now, after 2030, the first group of baby boomers who will now be in their 80s will enter into the, you know, the 80 plus age groups. And so when we look at all the different sell rates for those age groups, the 80 to 85 people, 55% start selling. 90 to 94, 72% start selling. 95 to 99, good for those guys, 84% of them sell their homes.
Okay.
Think about that.
So we're getting a big group of people.
Escalation of sell rates for people as they age.
Sure.
And so right now that rate is just very low. That's why we don't have a lot of the detached houses. That's why this is such an issue right now, is because the baby boomers own in Canada 41% of the houses.
But it's also because there's so many fucking people here now that there's people living in tents. What are those? Sure. What's happening with those tent people now? What?
I'm selling tents now. I got into the tent business.
That's what I said. I'm starting a manufacturing plant to deal with that.
I'm doing tent repair.
That's mobile genius. Tent repair. Mobile tent repair.
Yeah.
Now you're talking.
I'm going from camp to camp, and I'm trading things like, you know, barbecue, propane tanks.
I thought my idea was good. Yours is genius. Yeah. I'm actually
warm socks, stuff like that. You know, I'm trading all sorts of stuff.
I'm outfitting the tents with solar and battery packs.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay. I saw that. I saw a prototype of that.
It's super cool.
Yeah. And it looked like the Rogers Center, but you know, whatever. It was cool.
Right. Yeah. You saw that?
Yeah.
So I think. That we've
but what you're saying what you way what you're saying rails. Is that we know what you're saying is we have a demand issue.
Well, what I'm saying is that we have so many issues, TK, and it's not quite clear that there's a way out. And when there isn't a way out, people start doing some nutty shit, and it's getting real cold. And it's like, listen, I don't see less tents nobody's anywhere.
Tenting. Nobody's tenting in the wintertime.
No, but they're where all going are they back going? To
their parents' basement in Richmond Hill.
Is there that many of those that are out there right now? Yes. Is that what it is?
Yes.
Is that what it is?
A lot of them have mental health issues, different things going on. A lot of them, this is their lifestyle. You know, they feel free as a bird when they're out there. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them will have an option to go to a much warmer place. Some of them will try shelters. And then they'll go there and they'll be like, whoa,
that wasn't I'm not built safe. For this. Yeah, that wasn't fun.
And they'll go back to options that they do have. You know, maybe some of those options aren't that safe for them either, but they're warm.
I think that this is naive to think that most people do have options and that this is.
Well, one of the options is a shelter. I'm not saying this would be a great opportunity for our friend Urban Zen Girl, you know. Who, when she shows up to the show, has working audio, video, and speakers.
Yes. Right?
And that's really helpful when you come on the show.
Generally, it's helpful when you come on the show too.
And then she would be able to tell us about exactly what the whole homeless situation is, because she actually knows what she's talking about. And I don't. I've asked all my friends if any of them are okay with being homeless. And so far, each one of them said no.
Nobody likes being homeless. Nobody likes being homeless. What about you, Don? Do you like being homeless?
I can hear you now.
All righty, boy. Let's
it's
go.
It's a combination of the two. All right.
Oh, shit. I can't see you. I don't even know where the meeting went now. Just give me a second here. I'm terribly sorry.
You know what? Maybe we don't need to see you. Oh.
Maybe. That's probably a very good point.
No, it's okay. You're good.
Okay.
Oh,
so we got sound.
We got sound and video. Don, welcome.
It worked. All right.
You've cracked the code. You have gone from the comment section onto the main show.
Onto the show.
Legendary status.
You only fucked up part of the show.
You're going to get roasted. I'm going to get roasted. It's going to be epic.
Yeah.
Epic.
This is the last, probably our last episode. We're getting canceled after this.
This is it. This is it.
You might.
It's possible. I'm honestly, that's probably how things are going to end for this show eventually. Right? Is eventually we'll get canceled.
You guys are doing good. Don't get me wrong. You're not going to make any money off me today because there's probably some things that'll get you demonetized. I know about the YouTube and how it doesn't like certain things.
Yeah, tell us something that the YouTube.
Well, just cut us
like.
A check for the $30 that we're going to lose.
Yeah, replace it, please.
And please just replace it. And you can say whatever you want.
Okay. So, what do you guys seriously want to talk about today? Who are we cutting up?
Well, let's just figure out where you are right now, Don. You're in your car. You're located 6 hours north of Vancouver.
How'd you know that?
And you, we got info on you, Don.
Don't look up. That, you hear that buzzing up there? That's not our drone, okay?
And right now.
Dude, the phones are an amazing thing. They don't even need to bug your house anymore. Between the smart TVs, your phone, it's all good. It's all good.
You got family inside the house sleeping tight because it's 8 o'clock in the morning?
No, they're already up. I got a toddler, buddy.
They're chopping wood, bro. These guys are lighting
all right,
fires.
Our information's a little out of date.
Yeah, there is a fire. That's the first thing we do in the morning.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
all right.
Good for you.
Let's
and so you've been watching our show now for a little while. You've been there.
A year, yeah.
You've been a year or so. You can admit it's a little bit longer than that. And you know, you're out there. You're out there, you're researching, you're doing your homework, you're finding out what the grassroots real estate people are saying, and then you know, sometimes you agree with us and sometimes you don't.
Most times you don't.
I just mostly don't agree with realtors. I'm sorry. It's a dishonest trade. I'm not saying you're dishonest, but I believe real estate is dishonest, 100%.
I don't think we disagree that there's a lot of dishonest parts to the real estate industry. So I don't think we're that far apart on that.
Get into some numbers on that, and then we can get into the government stuff a little later.
You got numbers on dishonest realtors?
Not dishonest realtors, but I got numbers that are going to show it's not great for Canada with the real estate.
Sure.
Well, hold on. While we're still on these dishonest realtors, Don, because we don't want to just leave it there. Like, talk to me. Why do you feel that they're dishonest? Why so much hatred towards this field of expertise?
These highly educated experts.
These highly educated and fully licensed.
Fully vetted. Experts. Fully vetted.
Yeah.
By the way, there was a guy in Ontario this week who was in a realtor, but he got refused his mortgage license. It was in the news because he lied and said that he had never had a disciplinary hearing and from any other governing body. But in 2017, he showed a property to his clients and then he came back the next day, used the lockbox codes and broke into the seller's house again without a confirmed appointment. And he got fined for that. And then during his mortgage application, when he said that he had no criminal charges, he was on charges, which he was later, you know, they dropped the charges of domestic assault. And, you know, those were allegations and they were never proven in court, but his mortgage license was denied. So look, we got the finest characters in the real estate industry, Don. So please go ahead. Tell me your opinion.
Okay. So here's my personal dealings with them, right? I've been in construction. I've been around. I see what they do. They come into houses that are built like shit and they're like, oh my God, this is amazing. And then they're going to write a nice little synopsis of it and try to convince you to spend more, right? But
how do they do that?
It's easy. People have been emotional for the past 10 years. Hey, we're going to make more money on this, right? You're going to make more money. Don't worry. Prices go up. You can afford to book a 2030 price because we know that prices are going to go up. Prices always go up. Spend more. You see this house? It looks great. Okay, TK, are you an electrician?
No, but I'm blind. Legally.
Are you a carpenter?
No, but I have two left hands.
Hold on. It's all good. Are many realtors, carpenters, electricians, masons, any sort of trade? No, they're not. So they should stop giving opinions on what these houses are really like. Because I'm telling you right now, a good chunk of Canada's housing stock is built like tree forts, and everyone's running around trying to charge Lamborghini prices on a 1996 Cavalier. Mm. I'm sorry.
Okay. All right. So realtors are trying to sell their clients' homes for more money, and so they shouldn't be talking about the construction. Okay. Good.
That, well, as like a service guy, I can't tell you how many times I've gone into somebody's house and like, but the realtor said it would be okay. Why are you taking the realtor's advice on construction? They don't know. Like, what's your course? Like a 6 week, 6 month course? Like,
whoa, slow down. Slow down. This is a one day exam here. That's all it is.
Is it?
Yeah.
Is
6 months. Jeez. Mine was open book. I don't know what I did in between those exam dates, but I just brought the book
with me.
About the forms, you know, this is how it worked for me back then.
Were you allowed to write on the back of your hand?
I wrote inside the book.
On your in the book.
It's an open book. You got to bring the book. I made all my notes. I brought the book. I call. Oh, I know. Yeah. Oh, okay. I got my real estate license now. They changed that. Obviously, it's much more
advanced.
Would you like my personal story about when we bought our family home, February 2020?
Yes.
Okay, so number one, I'm Scottish, so I don't like just giving people my money.
No.
Like, you know what I mean? Well,
yeah, Jewish people like doing
$100,000
that.
On it. Why? Like, so either which way, we've been looking for months, like in 2019, like even 2016, 2017, we're looking at houses, but our baby was born in December 2019, so it's time to settle down. Let's buy a house, right? Okay, no problem. So I'm an electrician. I can move anywhere. So we started shopping communities more than houses, really. And we find a community we like. And we start looking at houses, and I'm looking at these houses, and I'm like, yeah, okay, well, here's your bullshit here, and there's your bullshit there. And they're like, oh, no, that doesn't really exist. And I'm like, yeah, okay. So the wife liked the one house, so, okay.
Hold on, what just happened there? What was the dialogue there? I didn't follow.
Just all the shoddy workmanship. And the realtor was just like, don't look over there.
Don't worry about that. That's fine. Well, okay, got it.
Yeah,
got it.
The laundry they're room. Trying to tell me I don't know construction, fucker. Right? They're like, that's fine. I'm like, this house has obviously had a fire.
They don't know who you are, right? They don't know who they're talking to. What's going on here? So they swindle you into buying the house?
No.
You're too smart for that. So you can't swindle Dawn. Okay, yeah.
My grandma was Scottish.
You can. Everyone's swindleable.
Swindleable?
Right? Yeah, you're going to get some Rickyisms. I'm sorry, buddy.
Okay. No, swindleable's good for your t-shirt.
Yeah, why not? Where is my t-shirt?
It's coming. We got to take the picture of you for it. We're good.
It's no pictures. Man, honestly, I was going to wear a mask. I don't even want my face on the internet. Like, I'm a very private person. But either
nobody
way, so back to the story.
It's okay. There's only four people that watch the show.
Still, just because you're paranoid doesn't mean they're not out to get you, right?
It's true. It's very true. Okay, so we got realtors that are swindlers.
Yeah, okay. Hold on.
That are out
Hold
to
on.
Get you now?
They're out to get us. Daryl, they got you too.
They get me daily, bro. I am like, I'm
not
got
so realtor proof. You have no idea.
Web here.
Daryl's got every real estate trap set up you've ever heard of.
But either which way, so the house that we bought, we're making a run at it, right? And then here's the thing I really didn't like about real estate. Who does the negotiations, TK?
Yeah, TK. Who does the negotiations, TK?
Well, technically, it's the buyer and the seller who are the ones
communicating. But who's actually talking numbers?
But yeah, the TK. Actual communications between the agents.
Between the agents.
Exactly.
Right.
So you're a black box.
What does that mean?
Right?
Is that... What does that mean?
Numbers go in, numbers come out. You don't really know what happens in between. It's a black box, right?
Sure.
I often wonder
like
what happens.
Sometimes what will happen is this. You'll go, like, let's say you guys are negotiating, right?
Yeah.
All right. Daryl, you know the language he uses. He tells you where to go, and then you can shove your offer you know where. And then I say, this is a real story, actually.
This is so true.
And so then when I go to you, Dawn, I go, you know, my client really loves your house. He thinks it's amazing. And, you know, he thought your counter offer was very fair. But he just thought maybe he should make some of these changes in order to try to, you know, make this go a little bit faster. What do you think, Don? And then, Don, you say, you know what, screw this guy. He's greedy and selfish and, you know, he can go take a hike. And so I go back to Darrow and I says, you know, just right now, he's just not ready to sign back. You know, he just feels like maybe now is not the right time. He's got a baby and stuff like that. Maybe we should try another offer and see what we could do. You know, that's my black box.
This is the black box.
Yeah.
We'll get back to the black box.
But hold on, Dom, how do you picture the black box? No. Let's really go through this. So when you picture what's going on there in that verbal transaction between agents, what do you see going on?
Can I paraphrase it to be quick?
We have all the time in the world. Let's get detailed here, bro.
Okay. In my mind, it runs like a cartoon. Real estate agents are just little cartoon characters running around trying to get as much money as possible. Buddy goes to him and is like, I know this guy can get his hands on, let's just say, $500,000.
Yeah.
That your buying agent, like, they are not looking out for you. You have to know they are not. They're paid on commission.
Right.
So it's in their best interest to get that price up, not down.
Definitely up. Although I can make a point, and I think I have, not that I like realtors, but I have made a good point for why they don't really give a shit if it goes down the price either. It doesn't affect them that much by the time it gets into their pocket. But go ahead with the evil realtor stuff.
Okay, so in my little world, TK bites his lip over there. It's Mr. Burns and some other cartoon character counting their money being like, let's take them for more, right?
Let's take them for more, like, guys. You know, how do we get this price up? Right. Let's get this up. Yeah. How do we get it up?
Like,
what do they do? What do they say?
Well, I'm not even going to deny that this doesn't exist, because I 100% have witnessed it.
You've witnessed it.
I've witnessed it. Yeah.
Have you called it in to the proper authorities when you've witnessed it?
Well, when I'm the listing agent and my clients are benefiting from that buyer paying more money,
because
his agent just wants to get paid.
But you see, this is
not really something that you want to report.
But this is what we've said is the problem from day one, is it's like, it's the way that people are compensated, right?
We have smart contracts. Everybody just, you know, knew what the rules were.
Now they're dumb.
There was prices. So guys, did you know? Okay. So first of all, on Monday, there is a, some sort of court case with Evergrande in China. All right.
Oh,
and
God.
They have got their big sort of, like, you know, grand finale on Monday to figure out if they are going to just, like, liquidate their assets. Okay. So it's a big deal on Monday. And what the government in China has done is, because prices in certain, like, big cities and stuff like that, like Shenzhen and things like that, were dropping so fast, they've limited the amount of discounts that people are allowed to give on their properties. They basically said, you're not allowed to sell your home for less money than what.
There's a good idea, Canadian bankers. Okay.
Look, people don't like, you know, regulation or anything like that. But, you know, these are the type of things that maybe in the future, again, and everybody, you know, thinks I'm a communist, but I'm just throwing out ideas here. I'm not in politics, but to regulate some, and Mark Morris hated these ideas when we talked about any type of regulation from the government, but to have some sort of regulation, it could be, you know, price increase base. It could be over asking base. It could be something where there's just like a governor put on real estate. And so then that there's not going to be this huge sway in pricing so that it protects consumers from overpaying, you know? Or like Daryl, like you used to say,
that horse has already left the barn in Canada, man. Like, whatever happens in China, happens in China. Maybe we'll see some repercussions through the market. But
Daryl always says that people should have like a financial advisor before making these decisions. And so if there were smart contracts,
hold on. Do you know that there's a difference between an advisor and an advisor? ER versus OR?
Please tell me.
Is
one
Spanish?
Has your fiduciary duty, like they have to give you good advice, and the other one's a salesman.
All right, the fiduciary duty guy, everyone has to have him, and if it could be done, if it could be done with AI,
for sure it could be done with AI.
So it's a smart contract. Now AI is going to look at it, and they're going to be like, "All right, Daryl, have you been drinking? Because the last sale was $800,000, and you want to make an offer of $950,000, and then they'll walk you through. Has there been $150,000 worth of renovations on this property? Does your mother live next door and you're willing to do anything for it?" And they'll walk you through that. And if you check no, they'll be like, "We do not permit you to make this call." Again,
it can be the appraiser, the underwriter, the mortgage
something,
broker,
just
like
to like
the regulator,
further protections. And then Don, like, you're not wrong here. Like, there's just lots of ideas and there's lots of things out there that are happening.
Yeah, finish the story. TK, stop trying to fucking be a superhero agent, okay? Like, we're trashing agent a little bit. We're in the story. Just, like, gear up, brace up, buckle in, and get ready to be smashed around, bro.
All right.
No, no. Like, seriously, I know it's not you. Like, honestly, TK, I would trust you to go into negotiations for me. I would trust Sessa. John Flynn, guys like that. But for the most part, I'm sorry. It's a dishonest trade. You fuckers are trying to take us. But either which way, so we're negotiating. I negotiate the price lower because that's my style, right? They wanted 235. We got it for 215 plus they had to give us some money back on the septic because the septic tank was a little wonky, like, you know what I mean, after inspection, blah, blah, blah. That's February 2020. And then the mortgage deferrals come out, right? Mortgage deferrals come out, prices start climbing. So, like, 50, 100 grand real quick, right? Like, so while we're waiting to close, they're starting to say that because of the layoffs that you won't be able to get your mortgage and people are having a hard time closing. And I'm like, oh, shit. And there's a renter in the house. So we're asking, can we close early? And we're getting pushback saying, sorry, we can't because of the renter. Blah, blah, blah. I'm like, okay, cool. A couple more weeks go by. We ask again. No, sorry, we can't because of the renter. We look up the homeowner on Facebook and we message him. We're like, hey, man, why can't we close? We'd really like to close early, please. And he says, well, that's
Are you allowed to do that?
Realtors are trying to.
Of course you are.
What?
Oh, you're allowed to do that, TK?
Sure. Why can't one person reach out to the other side?
Hold on. Done,
this
Don.
Is why we reached
it's a big
on,
league move.
Yeah, let's finish the story. This is good. I want to hear the ending.
Juicy.
Daryl?
Sure.
Okay. So he like turns to us and says, hey, man, they were telling me you're trying to back out. And they're telling us that he's trying to get out of the sale, too. So the realtors. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, it's very obvious what happened. They saw the prices going up. Basically, for an extra $500, the realtor in their pocket, for an extra $500. In their pocket, the realtors would have left me and my family fucking homeless.
Homeless.
Can you tell me why I'm mad at them?
That is
there's a lot
definitely
of assumptions there, but I do see why you're frustrated.
A lot of assumptions? They full on told us.
I know, but I don't think they wanted you to be homeless. But I totally understand where the ideas are coming from. And that scenario actually happens more often. And it's not always the same reasons. I never think anyone wants, maybe I'm naive, but I don't think anyone wants anyone to be homeless. But sometimes there's something that suits the realtor. So, for example, someone says, I want to close 2 months later. And the realtor's like, but I want to get paid.
I
next
need
month.
This
like,
money, man. I was counting
and then
on this.
The buyer says, can you guys close 2 months later because of X, Y, and Z? And then he says, no, my seller, you know, they're going to be going away on vacation. They won't be around then.
Yeah.
And then the seller never
lawyer's
finds out
going away.
The buyer's
Jewish.
That extra 2 week extension.
They never talked to him though.
I agree.
They never
I know.
Talked
for
to
sure.
Him.
I know. That for
scoundrels.
Sure has happened more than once. Like guaranteed. It's such
bastards.
An easy thing for an agent to do. Yeah. Yeah.
Do you want a few more stories?
Yeah.
Let's
yeah.
Go.
Give us
That's
another.
We brought you on, Don.
Give us the best
okay,
one though.
Yeah,
don't like.
On. All right. Let's do this. So either okay. which way. Well, while we were shopping, I found a house and I was pretty sure I could duplex it. Right. Like I'm in the trades. I can run tools. Let's make some money. Everyone's making money. I like money too. Let's make money. So I'm looking for something I can duplex, right? And I find a pretty suitable house. You could see on the internet, it had been on and off sales for basically 10 years, like almost a decade. And I'm looking at the photos and the house has got like half torn apart, obviously homeowner shenanigans everywhere. I'm like, okay, good. Number one, he's trying to sell. He can't sell. Number two, he's obviously done some stuff he shouldn't have been doing. So
like what? Like what? What's a homeowner shenanigan that you were able to pick out of with your keen eyes?
From what I remember that sticks into my mind, it was the furnace was like half torn apart. Just you can tell. Like you can tell it just doesn't have that je ne sais quoi, right?
Right. Well, we all know what that means because we're in Canada and we all speak French, so we're good.
We just went to French immersion.
I went to French immersion.
But
I don't think that
that learned a thing.
It's that little something extra. That little,
I don't even
that
think
little
that's really French.
That a tradesman puts into his work.
I don't think anybody who's French says it. It's like one of those expressions.
I think it's from like a movie.
Yeah.
Anyways, okay. So it has that certain You don't know, but you know it just, it's horrific beneath the drywall.
Well, it's 1970, 10 years trying to sell the house. A lot of it's stock. A lot of it's been bastardized. I got a half ripped out furnace. There's insulation torn out from the walls. Like, you know what I mean? Stuff going on. But either way, I'm living 2 hours away at the time because in BC, like, towns are far and few between, right? Like, a 2 hour drive is around the corner, but it's still 2 hours, right? Mm-hmm. So either which way, I phone the local realtor. I'm like, hey, man, I'm pretty sure this, because it was listed as a pressure treated foundation, right? And I thought,
what the hell does that mean? Yeah.
You city people. Oh, you city people.
Is that wood? Like a wood foundation?
Find out what they bought. Oh,
God.
What the hell's a pressure treated foundation?
It's pressure treat wood, man.
With
that's
wood?
Your foundation.
Shut up.
Yeah.
What, like with
no,
like,
serious,
like
look it up.
4x4s or 6x6s?
Yeah, 2x6, 2x4. You can make it all.
That's why
stuff,
no one bought it for
but,
10 years.
Normally there'll be like 3/4 inch ply up. There's two different grades of pressure treat wood. There's above ground and below ground. They don't really do it anymore, but it's still out there.
That's like a retaining wall, not a foundation.
We call that a deck. We just call that
right?
a deck.
That's
yeah.
that's a retaining
right?
wall. Hold on a second.
Oh,
did you
God,
see
that
retaining
right?
wall in
that guy's got
BC?
A great deck, man. You should see it's covered and everything's got bathrooms on top of that deck. It's
TK's,
fantastic.
Did you see Dude. that big giant retaining wall in
yeah, down the lower mainland
or something?
Yeah,
or some weird name that they have out there in BC. No, you didn't see
I
that?
I thought it was like straight up like how did, Burnaby or something.
How did a retaining wall make the news? What was so special?
The shotcrete let go and it let in all the earth.
It's like
so it did not do what it was built to do. It must have been a pressure treated retaining wall.
Remember, right. it was engineered and it's fine.
Yeah, it was approved.
It was approved.
It's the what's it but called?
It wasn't fine.
I'm drawing a blank. It's the
shotcrete.
Yeah, it's concrete, but it's the not the hoarding. Oh my God, I can't believe I'm drawing a blank.
Yeah, when you're going down,
it holds the earth in place right? when you're doing the foundations for the building.
Yeah, yeah. So they're obviously doing a condo, let go. Now you're getting tons of earth in there.
Yeah,
and
huge, huge hole.
Now you got
shoring. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh my God, yeah. My brain. So
the shoring
just
wasn't
off.
Done right.
The shoring.
But let's just be glad
like
nobody
deep.
Was hurt or killed.
Nobody. No, what? Everybody was standing around recording it for Instagram.
Of course.
This thing caved in like it was crazy. And those things are generally there because there's a building beside them, right? And to keep that foundation secure. So likely like the building beside that thing is pretty unsafe at the moment. But okay, probably. Sorry. So pressure tree.
You bought a duplex. Did you buy the duplex?
No. I was going to turn it into a duplex.
Yeah. Did you buy it or no?
Okay. So that's where we're getting at,
realtors,
right? So I can see that's listed as a pressure treat basement, but in the photos I see formed concrete. Now I'm interested. I wasn't interested in pressure treat basement. Fuck that shit. So I can see it's formed concrete from the photo. So I phoned up the local realtor. I'm like, hey man, can you go and look at this for me real quick? I just want to make sure that it's 2 hour drive one way. I'm like, hey man, is this a formed concrete basement? If it is, I'm interested. And he's like, nah, man, that's pressure treat, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, go check. So he goes and checks for me back. He's like, well, yeah, that's formed concrete, buddy. I'm like, okay, cool. He's got a list for 210. I'd like to put in an offer of 180. Realtor ghosts me. And then he sells it 2 weeks later for 230.
Fuck.
What a prick.
What a prick, man. What did he
have to
gain by doing
that? I think you learned your lesson there. You know, you got to get your independent advisor. You called the listing agent.
Oh, you tried to get a discount.
He wasn't listing agent.
No.
He can't sell it if it's the listing agent in BC to me. He'd be double ending.
So it was your own agent who went there and screwed you?
I didn't sign paperwork with him, though. That was the thing. But I'm 2 hours away, DocuSign, whatever. Live and learn, right? Live and learn.
Yeah.
Why didn't you
but
sign DocuSign?
You should have offered him like a Tim Hortons gift card or something like that, you know? Like sweeten the deal
I
for him.
I thought he would have just been like, oh, yeah, sure. I'd love to sell this house. You haven't even stepped foot in it yet? And you're like 90% sure you're going to buy it? Lucky day. You literally phoned me to make me a commission.
Yeah. I wonder how many people bought houses sight unseen through video. We got a guy in New Brunswick, Art, and he sells homes to investors from Ontario, and none of them see the houses ever, ever. And he sells hundreds of homes, and he's just got it down to a science on how to sell investors properties without them ever stepping into it. But he's good at what he does, and he uses a lot of technology. But what about the people who aren't very good, and they're just selling houses, and people are just buying houses with sight unseen, and then all of a sudden it becomes a pressure treated foundation or something weird like that, you know, that they move into. I wonder how many cases.
I've seen houses built on deck block.
Yeah. I wonder how many cases ended up, especially Northern BC, like those type of funny build places.
No. We can go to Ontario. I'm from Dufferin County, man. We'll find stuff all over.
I know.
I bought a house. Well, actually, I didn't buy the house. I went to go look at, I think I told this story before. I went to go look at this house. And as I'm looking at it, I wanted to flip it. And it was a disaster. But as I'm going in the basement, like the walls are crumbling. And as you kind of just sweep away, you see that it's just like a brick wall sitting on nothing, like not even a footing. It's just made out of brick, the foundation. So I said, you know what? I think we're going to pass on this because this will be a disaster. And then didn't I tell you this, TK? A week later,
the one that we had to do the episode.
No. So a week later, my father-in-law calls me. He goes, you wouldn't believe it. I just bought this house on blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, what number is it? He goes, 433. And I go, oh my God. Like,
yeah.
Here we go.
It's so funny.
I got to renovate
it. Me and Daryl, one time, we both come on the show. We're both excited to talk about this great deal on this great house from this distressed seller that we both have been approached by two different people. And we're both like excited about it. And Daryl's telling the story and he's going on. And then he's like mentioning different things. And then I'm like mentioning different things. And I'm like, hey, wait a second.
Kind of making fun of it.
And we started totally cutting it up. And then we said, is it at this intersection? And he's like, yeah, we had both been introduced to the same house like the same day. Yeah. Through the grapevine, because this one seller was just calling every agent and people that they knew and looking for investors and stuff. And so it both came across both of our desks. And then the lady was really upset because we were teasing her. And
she watches the show, I guess.
She watches
pretty cool. Somebody watches the show. We got a legal letter.
We took it out. We took it out.
We get threatened.
We're nice people. We're not trying to cause any harm. It was just, we were excited. You know,
it's exciting.
Small world.
How'd we get on to that? Anyways, so Don hates realtors with a passion, it seems, and he wants to tell us. No, you don't hate.
You got another one?
I feel hatred coming through.
Dude, we could fill up volumes. We got to move on from it. Like, it's okay. It's just that realtors are sketchy.
We don't have that much left in the show. So what's your biggest topic that you want to talk to us about?
Yeah.
Paris Accord. I don't think a lot of people really understand what's coming down the pipeline.
Paris Accord. Okay, let's go.
Okay. Let's go.
Let's give people a little background because it's a real estate show.
Talk to me like I'm an idiot. All right. That was quick. Tell me.
I will.
Paris Accord. Start from the beginning.
Okay. It's a legally binding UN treaty. It's net zero by 2050. So this is where it's going to start affecting people in the houses, right? So in Vancouver by 2025, all new and replacement heating and hot water will be zero emissions. That means 100% electrical. Montreal is going to be doing the same 2024. Nanaimo, same thing, July 1st, 2024. Like, they're not even going to rough in buildings for nat gas.
What's in Nanaimo?
Nova Scotia is going to...
Is that a
Nova
place?
Nova Scotia is going to ban oil-fired heating systems. You can look up the Nova Scotia climate change plan. They're going to be doing fertilizer bans, like 30% cuts on that. Same as what you got going in Holland. Right. So we're going to be banning fossil fuel vehicles by 2035. You can look this up. There's going to be a limitation on how much fossil fuels you can use. So, like, say you got a gas vehicle in 2035. Well, you may only get rationed X amount of gas. Right. Carbon passports. Look into that.
So all this stuff that is definitely real. Right, TK? Like, this is real stuff. This is not bullshit. What do you...
Don't look it up.
No, this is real stuff, right? So what effect from this are you worried about that you want to tell everybody or warn everybody about?
For me, I'm going to be fine. I'll be all right. It's okay. I already stepped out. Like, how?
What's the difference between you and, let's say, TK, for example?
Number one, I'm far handsomer. Just look at me.
Okay.
That's fine. Right? Except. What's number two?
And number two?
Okay, let's put it this way. Hey, TK, you want to go winter camping in minus 40? Does that sound like a good time?
Well, I'm in the tent business now, so I don't know if you knew that.
And he's got solar.
No, the answer is no.
No, generally no.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like fun.
You
I'm about a 15 degrees Celsius, like plus.
That's where you crap out.
Celsius camper, yeah, or more.
So
or more.
It's probably going to be mental resiliency to hardship. That's the biggest difference between me and TK, and probably you too, Daryl.
Yeah.
Me too. I'm fucking toast, man. You guys are going to eat me first. Listen, are you crazy?
We've got a scale here right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, they will. It's called long pork, buddy.
I'm gone.
Yeah, and I'm in the middle.
I'm gone.
Okay. Yeah. So either which way, I'm going to throw this out here. Do you guys mind if I like talk about other podcasts and stuff that people can look up some of this information?
For sure.
We are not in competition with anybody on podcasts.
I don't think we are.
You guys ever heard of the Sean Ryan show?
No.
Okay.
But
look up this episode specifically. Episode 60, Sean Ryan show, David Tice. That's going to show you what's going to happen to the grid. Do you guys remember the 03 blackout?
Yes, I was a fucking superhero.
I worked
day,
at the golf
man.
Course. That
yeah,
summer.
I'm sure you were. But either which way, so if we were to cut the grid,
yeah,
first winter, 90% of North America's population is done. Like, I don't even know if I'm going to make it, right? Like, I'll try my best, but what are you going to do? Like,
can't you rig up like a bike or
so
something?
So you mean if we don't have any power? Is
yeah,
that what you're saying?
Sure, you can. Sorry, TK?
If you don't have any power, like, you. Is that what you're saying? So like,
yeah, the grid
nobody
gone.
Has any power.
If I was to pull the grid, like say Russia gets super pissed at us and they launch an EMP and it blows out the grid first winter, 90% of us are toast, man.
Yeah.
Bye.
Yeah. That 03 power outage, we had a wood burning
so
fireplace. Yeah.
Yep.
So like we did okay.
I
have a wood burning fireplace at my house anymore.
I was running a furniture store at the time, and the place was totally dark.
Furniture.
No, we went out.
Burn the furniture. They did it in Greece. It'll be fine.
We did every delivery that day. I hooked up like batteries from trucks to the phones so we could keep calling people. We were beasts that day.
There was a few days there. It was like a couple of days.
Yeah, but there was one delivery day, Friday, and then it went to weekend.
Oh, you know what? I was thinking about the ice storm when we had the fire.
No, that was different. That was different.
When I worked at the golf course because I was a teenager, and that it didn't really affect me. It was the summer.
In the winter? Yeah.
No, the power outage, the 03 one was during the summer.
There was one that was during the summer. Yeah. Okay, sorry, Don.
The winter one was the ice storm.
No, it's all good. I know we're running short on time, so we got three things to fix. You want to fix real estate? You want to fix Canada? Or do you want to fix your show?
Show.
Well, and in order.
Canada.
In order.
I think we could do them all in one fell swoop.
Like, I'm pretty sure we can only fix our show.
Hold on.
Like, let's be honest
Canada.
Here. The other two,
let's
I don't think are.
Canada first.
Okay.
Okay. All right.
I'm in.
Okay. You can vote in independent MPs, right? It's a thing. You're allowed to.
Because voting is
real. Why don't we step away from what?
Voting is real.
Well, if voting mattered, they wouldn't let you do it, but let's give it a shot, right? So either which way. So let's vote in independent MPs, but let's make them like CGAs or CPAs, whatever, some sort of high-level accountant. So we'll have like, what, 338 accountants. And then for 63 cents per Canadian, we could hire 100 forensic accountants from Germany. Like, I want guys that are thorough, sharp pencils. Let's do this.
German.
And let's go through the past, like, I don't know, 20 years of receipts. Where'd our money go?
Didn't it go to the TTC?
Other countries.
And
it went to other countries. It went to pensions for the government and probably hookers and blow. Like, let's face it. Where did it go? Like, is our healthcare good? Are the roads good? Is the education good? Where did our tax money go? The cops aren't even good.
It's a good point. Where is all the money?
That seems a little bit suspicious.
I feel like I've paid a lot of money.
I figure somebody's doing the books, though. I feel like somebody out there has looked at the books and given the thumbs up. Otherwise, we would know.
No.
Maybe it was that lunatic that started off the show.
Right? That's my, yeah. That's my.
She's checking the books all fucking crazy.
She's got a little bit of, she's possessed.
Okay. And then you want to fix real estate? Here's what we're going to do. No more foreign immigrants. No more student.
Where are we going to get the immigrants from?
No foreign immigrants. But can we have not foreign immigrants?
Whatever. You know what I mean.
Okay.
Like, just stop. Stop bringing people in.
Stop immigration.
Just stop.
Stop bringing new people. What about babies? One child policy for a bit? What about that? Only women.
We should be having our own kids.
Let's go only women for 20 years. Clean this place up. See, that's where China went wrong. They did only the boys. Boys are stupid. Boys can't figure shit out. They just like to fight. If they did the one girl policy for the however fucking long they did, the world would be a better place.
Yeah.
It'd be gentle.
If they were like, you can have as many girls as you want, but only one boy or something like that. So everyone would just pump it out girls.
Just pump out girls. And then that would be crazy. We have a gentle, kind, loving planet. Finally. Mm-hmm. Because, like, look at all that hate.
I don't know if you guys noticed, China does get stuff done, right? China does get stuff done. And, I know people don't like to hear this.
Where's Jack Ma?
But there's definitely things that they know how to do better than us.
Where did
Jack Ma go? They put up that building in, like, 48 hours.
That's where Jack Ma ended up, in that building.
Right?
Full stop.
Hold on.
So, all that crap, like, you've never heard of tofu concrete in China? The stuff they're building is falling down.
It's falling down.
Like, it's not good work. No. We need stuff to last. What we're building right now is junk. It's fucking tree fort. And we're not bringing in more of it.
So what happens when you go onto a site, you're a carpenter or you're an electrician. And I think I saw that you're a carpenter too, aren't you?
Yeah,
you're
a master electrician. I'm 3/4 way through my apprenticeship on that.
Right? So you go into these houses and you're like, this is horrible. I can't do the electrical here. Or are you like, well, this is horrible, but I'm going to do the electrical anyways because I need to get paid too.
Yeah.
Do you walk
out
of the house?
I do my work quality. Oh. My work is good.
But if your work is good within a horribly framed wall that should be ripped apart, isn't that kind of like double dipping a little bit potentially on
you come
purpose?
Back and you say,
aren't you a scoundrel too, Don?
Man, honestly, bring me back in 6 months. We got to figure out a lot of things here.
A lot of things. But okay. We need more time. We're touching on audio. Hold on. That helps. Yeah.
I'm sorry, guy. I'm not very techie. I can sling tools, but I'm not very techie. I was used to Zoom. You just sign in and then the audio was there. This thing, I had to dial a number. I'm sorry. But either which way, back to my point.
Since we're on Zoom.
I don't know. But carpentry is an unregulated trade. You can just go, like the guy pulling the permits, the guy who's the developer, yeah, he's got some school and whatever.
A little bit.
But the dick nuts that's carrying out the work, that's probably the cheapest guy he could find.
Yeah. We like dick
and
nuts.
It's terrible everywhere. Even these McMansions, everyone's like, oh, but I live in a luxurious whatever. No, you live in beaver barf that's got like 30 grand worth of quartz on it.
I feel like every character voice of yours is a little bit effeminate and a little bit passive aggressive.
When you see the beginning episode, the beginning of this week's episode, Don, you'll see our skit. And no judgment, okay? Don't
judge us.
I don't know how that video takes.
No reflection on the guest.
I don't know where Daryl got it from. And he didn't have my permission to use it. But we're at the end of the show, Don. And if you can let everyone know
how
to be able to like, comment, and subscribe, we would really appreciate it.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, comment, subscribe. I'm double subscribed. Do it yourself.
You're double subscribed from two different accounts.
Didn't get to fix the show.
Not this time. But you know what? We are going to have some special episodes coming up at the end of the month, and we'd love for you to jump in and join us in those live episodes, Don. So we'll send you some information.
We'll send out some information.
Get you back. You can stir the pot a little bit when you're on there with a bunch of realtors, a bunch of scumbags. So this will be great.
Dude, I don't want to argue.
Okay. So you can come on and give us some good cheer and some good ways to fix things next time you're on. And we can change the world, all of us.
I think
on a live episode.
Honestly, thanks for having me. I hope you guys have a great day.
Thanks for coming on the show, Don.
I love
the perspective. Appreciate you. We'll see you again in the comments.
Oh, where'd he go?
And thanks for coming on the show.
I took my phone, buddy. Like I said, I'm not good at this stuff.
It's okay.
Well, we lost his video. Just disappeared.
Guys, thanks for watching today. If you haven't yet, drop us a like, comment, and subscribe. Hit the bell and be like Don. You know, get another YouTube account and double subscribe.
Double subscribe, you know, like Don.
You're telling everybody else to subscribe. Well, have you double subscribed?
D is for double subscribe like Don.